The Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.D. Bungus, Ailish Porfar, Blake Murphy. And our buddy, one of the kings of social media, Anthony Stewart, NHL and Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, and recently, Chevy Good Deeds Ambassador, creator of Hockey Equality. Stewie, I know I make fun of you a lot, because sometimes you're the worst. Let's just admit it. You are. This is actually a case. It's like, man, this is great. Like, I'm proud of you. Obviously, you do just an incredible amount in the community. And I will say, like, man, I really am happy to know you. And you are one of the dudes where it's like, we live in this era now where everybody's like, social media is somebody who like tries to impact change because they do like a retweet. And they go, didn't you see I posted this in my Instagram story? Like, you're a boots on the ground guy. And yeah, you're a time served guy. And I just respect the, like, I got the swear word loaded up there, but I was like, you know, like, it is really, really commendable, man. And I'm really, really happy that you're just like a part of our team and that you're just like, and I mean that in terms of like citywide too, bro.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. And I do it because I was impacted by it. Right. I had a lot of people go out of their way to, you know, make sure that I was okay to play hockey. And I think that's sort of the issue with a lot of players. There's certain demographics of people when they get to the rink, they have to worry about so many other things about hockey. So, you know, anything I could do to pay it forward, I'm more than happy to do it. I think the saying is, what is it? The takers eat better, but the givers sleep better. So I had a good night's sleep last night. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know what? We're waking up at 4:30 in the morning every day.
Get a good breakfast, though.
I got to give more. I got to give a lot because I'm tired, bro. Every single day, I'm dragging out of here. Once the clock hits 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, what time is it? Is it midnight? Like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm sleepy. I'm falling asleep on my feet. So, not sleepy. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Everything's changed. Everything's better. It's a new team. Okay. Jack Campbell's been amazing, right? Like, we can all admit this, and we're going to talk to you about him at some point, I'm sure, during this discussion. But I can't get over this feeling of, like, he's been amazing. The Leafs obviously have leaned on him a few times. He was great in that game against Colorado. I thought he shut the door in the second period for the most part and let them kind of find their footing and get back in that game. But there's all these other things that are happening where I can see that they look better as a team, and it's not just the goaltending, which is kind of some of the narrative that's been pushed around this team. When you're watching them right now, what's the most impressive part outside of the goaltending?
I think I'm going to have to say the depth. And I could just imagine if I could be a fly on the wall during, you know, at your house when they scored that goal to make it 2-1 with 2 seconds left in the first period. I think you're probably panicking, saying, uh-oh,
yep.
I know the team's doing well, but here we go again. But just looking at how they got there, right? It was 3-0 going to 3-1. But what's going on with this team this year is that they're having their depth scoring. You know, Simmons is, you know, stepping up, scoring goals at big moments. You got Spezza scoring big goals. Dermott, you know, stepped up. So when things were going awry last year, everyone would be looking for the big four to step up and do something. But it's tough. It's tough for these guys to be on every single night, you know, providing that scoring. But when you have four lines that are out there, not necessarily scoring, but just in the offensive zone, you know, cycling, doing something out there, I think that's the biggest improvement of this team. So obviously it's the team defense as well too. They're playing a good team system, structured system. They're not playing that running gun pond hockey style. So it's a good team game, and that's the making of a Stanley Cup contender when it's not just one line or two lines. It's all four cylinders, all 60, and you're getting the goaltending and special teams are special. That's why they're having success right now.
So you've always been the champion of nothing matters till the playoffs, but are you starting to shift that narrative a bit to this is important for the Maple Leafs to have this stretch where they're the most dominant team in the NHL?
Playoffs? I don't know if I said that. I think I probably said it, but whatever.
I'll deny it. We take receipts. Come on.
I'll confirm it, but... Yeah, it is, but you have to give them their flowers because they are playing good hockey right now. They have the most wins in the NHL. They had a bad start, and so that was the one thing, too. They already went through their adversity, and everyone was sort of calling for all the moves. Oh, here we go again. It's another long year, and they made the adjustments, and they improved. So I think with the way the team is playing right now, they're making a lot of the naysayers have a little bit of egg on their face, but it's just a great team game, and you know, I go back and forth with one of these Oilers fans from Newfoundland about Austin Matthews, and he's been awfully quiet lately because, you know, Matthews has crept in into the top 10 of scoring right now. And what I like about his game, too, is just look at five of his last six goals. They're not coming off the fly. It's not highlight reel goals. It's just him going to the net, creating separation, using his size. So he's adding another element. So a lot of this group now, they're adding different elements to their game. There's an evolution to their game, too, and that's another making of a great team.
Again, everything seems to be sort of coming together for them. It is so strange to me that we're all buying in on this team, that the playoffs narrative is like, okay, it's funny. It's become something that was the fan base thing where all Leaf fans went. It's the playoffs. You were bringing it up. You were like, I live here. You know, it's all about playoffs. Now it's sort of the thing that other fan bases are doing to the Leafs, right? Like, they're the ones who are going, yeah, but playoffs. And Leaf fans are like, yeah, well, we can only control what you can control. We can only play the games that they're playing right now. Can only watch the games that they're playing right now.
Yeah, and if, you know, they win the President's Trophy, they're going to have a better drawing in the playoffs in the first round there. And if they play the way that they are playing, getting good goaltending, getting good specialty teams, their big guys stepping up in depth scoring, you're probably going to win a couple rounds. So I think that's just sort of what the question mark was. There was a lot of question marks going into the season. Are they going to get the depth? How is Bunting going to come in and step in?
Everything's hit. Except for Richie, your boy. Except for the guy. Your guy,
yeah,
Richie.
I think I'm losing my connection. Your guy.
No, you're like, you were like, oh, Nick Richie. Oh, he's a big four, big power forward. I was a big power forward. I was a guy. You're like, oh, he's GTA. Sure, yeah, like, it's okay. It's all right.
He's, cool he's story, bro.
He's tough for Richie. It's like, I'm the one who's been calling it like it is. And you keep saying, like, oh, be afraid of Richie. I don't know.
Do you think that Maple Leafs fans, especially us, but do you think Maple Leafs fans like just look for little flaws because we're programmed to know that something might go wrong, probably will go wrong? So like even this stretch being the number one team in hockey, we had the text line open on Tuesday and still people's confidence are like, nah, doesn't matter. I can't do it. Did you see that, you know, Richie this or Dermott this? Like, do you think that maybe Maple Leafs fans are just too injured in the past that we would look for those small flaws?
Well, it is a broken fan base. And if you just go hashtag Leafs forever, you can see it. And most of Leafs Twitter's on my feed, you know, sending the memes back and forth too. But
stop, you know, defending Richie. That's what they say.
Okay. He's probably listening now, and he's going to find you on Bay Street. Like, he's going to give that blank stare into your soul.
There's nothing behind those eyes, buddy. It's just nothing.
But my point is, you can take the losses, and I think the issue with some of the losses last year was the way they lost. And coaches say, we'll take a loss as long as the team is playing the right way, not giving up goals in the last second of a period or the beginning of a period, or, you know, your power play going, you know, 6-4, you know, 75. I don't even know the numbers on that as well. But when you're winning and losing the right way, that sort of now builds into creating that culture. And I think right now with the team, they sort of have an identity, whereas last year was, well, we don't know what they're doing. They're adding pieces here to try to be a little bit more tougher. What's going on with the depth? But they have a legitimate bottom six. They have a go-to third line, shutdown line. They have a legitimate fourth line. They have goal scoring. They have depth on D as well, too, and they're getting the goaltending. So I think this year they have more of an identity, that's for sure.
Do you think that – what's more likely? We have this written down in our little doc. Jack for the Vezina or Keith for the Coach of the Year?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This is the problem with the fan.
Don't you dare. We're doing the
How
quarter.
How many goals in the playoffs for Matthews? Are you going to score 4 hat tricks in the playoffs?
Probably.
Probably, yeah. I was going to say, why not?
No, I think it'll be Jack for the Vezina, just because people have been waiting for him to come down to earth since last year. You know, it's like the Bubble Demko effect, where is he really going to play that well? And I think he's answered all the haters. And I think the main thing was the durability. And he's showing that he can play back-to-back in, you know, 3 games and maybe 6 nights too. So I'm really, really a fan of his game. And I always talk about the timing of the save. He makes the right save at the right time. And he's dialed in. And I think the most important part, his teammates want to play for him. They love him. Every time they talk about him in an interview, their eyes light up. And you
just
know,
like
he's
when
such
we
a
talk
great...
to you.
Yes, yes. Like, I can see it through my BlackBerry right now. I can see the yeah. So with Campbell, again, he's checking all the boxes. And again, yeah, he has to do it in playoffs, but I would not be surprised to see him in the running for the Vezina.
Dude, you just made me think about a conversation I was having with somebody the other day about BlackBerries and how the one that didn't have the trackpad, the one before that had the ball. And when you have the ball, I know, but when you have the ball, and then once it would wear out and it would start to like pop out or it didn't work a certain way. And I used to love, what was
roll
the game?
Around.
What was the game called?
Brick Breaker.
Yeah. And I was a Brick Breaker master, as were many, but I was a real Brick Breaker master. I wasn't like a fraud liar about it, who was most people. But yeah, like the ball would wear out and then you'd start to have to make those like real adjustments to like knowing
it's
the
difficult.
Track ball. And that's how you knew you were like a real master of the game.
Do they still have that?
I was the original Snake Master. I had the Nokia phone too, right?
Yeah.
I think I still owe. I was going to say, Roger, I think I still owe Bell $100. But and one of my first appearances on radio when I first started out, I think it was on you and Ben's show. and you guys roasted me for probably a good 6 minutes about the Black Bear. And I'm like, guys, like, can we talk about hockey, please?
No.
Literally 6 minute roast.
We like to get derailed on this show, especially with JD. Yeah.
6 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, okay, good 2 minutes is good. But
you were like all
six
prepped.
Minutes, I'm like.
This is your first radio hit. You got notes in front of you. Yeah. You're like doing vocal warm-ups before you sign on. And they just want to rip your BlackBerry.
Yeah. Let's talk about the power play.
Here's the thing. I do this every day for hours and hours and hours. And so it drives me insane when someone texts in or tweets in like, yeah, you talk about sports. I'm like, I can't.
It's 4 hours.
Do you know how much sports we're giving you on a daily basis?
Like more than anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Literally more than anyone else in the entire city. Okay. So if I want to talk about BlackBerries for 6 minutes, you all sit down and you listen. All
or
right.
I want to talk about my chips every morning. Let me do it.
That's
chips,
right.
Yeah. Chips.
Chip talk
We've
is
We've never asked you about chips, but we'll save that for next time. One thing I do want to ask you about is earlier on in the season, we had you on the show and you were giving us some predictions and you said that Ottawa Senators were going to make the playoffs.
Mark Mathot saved you, though.
Hoost said that. But
you said that, and I just wanted to resurface it because it's Friday.
We're Silent Vic. Sorry, he's not the audio on that. If he has the audio, it was me that said that.
We're getting that audio next
week. So what happened there, Anthony Stewart?
Yeah. You can't be all. You got to be some misses. But again, they did not get the goaltending, and that's why I sort of made that prediction because they had some good young players in Norris and Batherson, and Murray was playing some good hockey when he came back from his injury last year, but
he's in the AHL.
They didn't take the next. Yeah, I know. He looks more like Garth Murray. But you can't be correct on all of them. But the one prediction I did make, and no one's really given me credit for that, was I said the Vancouver Canucks were the one Canadian team that was not going to make the playoffs. So I'd like to get my flowers on that one, please.
Yeah, wow. You should get a lot of credit for saying the team that sucks. They kept sucking away.
Yeah, the garbage team your predictions. That's always bad. Yeah.
I'll check the Carfax. Don't worry.
Yeah, you know what? That's the one good thing about radio is it's not written anywhere, you know? It's not on television. It's not saved in like a clip. It's just out there, and then I get the heroes in the DMs that are like, you said, I'm like, prove it.
You know, and you're like, I say a million things every day, I don't remember.
Go through all the 4 hours of the podcast on the day you claim I said that, and prove it. And even then,
you'll just be like, no, you doctored that.
Yeah, exactly.
You ran my clips through an algorithm and then had it. Exactly.
You can edit anything these days.
You word swapped it.
By the way. He did face swaps. I swear to God, Stewie has like the best face for face swaps. Like every face he puts is born to. I think it's just a handsome thing. Like if you're better looking, you look good on other things. I have the worst face for it. And every time he puts me on something, it's like worse than the next. And every time he does it, I'm like, he did this on purpose to be offensive to me. And then I'm like, nope, it's just my face.
I haven't got a face swap yet.
You got a face swap. I think everyone gets the face swap.
I don't remember getting one. You got a face swap. Yeah,
I'll make one.
You did.
I got one in the pipeline right now.
Except for I think he put you on a boy.
Oh, great. Thanks.
So maybe you were paying attention.
Don't get me in trouble now.
Yeah, but I think you did.
HR's going to be calling.
I think you did that.
Rogers HR.
Stewie, you're the best, man. Again, congrats on everything. And thanks for everything that you are doing in the community, buddy. It is awesome.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Go Leafs, go.
See you, bro. Anthony Stewart, NHL and Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, Chevy Good Deeds ambassador and creator of Hockey Equality.
I like giving him a hard time, you know?
Yeah, it's the best. Because here's the thing.
You can dish it, too. Yeah, you can take it.
But that's it. That's what it's all about. Right there. Dish, take, dish, take. I forgot the BlackBerry thing that I really wanted to do off of that, though. I got sidetracked. There was because he was like, you already do stupid things. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I guess I won't do back-to-back stupid things. That's always the temptation.
You try to cut it in with like, all right, I gotta be serious for like 1 second.
But also, it's Friday. I don't really care.
You know what?
I mean, we got 6.5 minute break coming up here. And then we have Nate Pearson. Ever heard of him?
Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He's part of the family, right?
Big Nate. Ever heard of him?
Hit the family drop. Vic is rusty. Look at him.
I know.
My family.
Yeah. Somebody just texted in, big craw guy. It's been a while since we had stick in your craw.
That's my favorite drop ever. That's even better than Big Mug.
My family.
It's better than Gilbert Gottfried. Like, it's so good. Right? My family. Also, this is one take I've always... It's like, you can't even really be a football coach without having a family. Like, there's like two football coaches.
That's true. They all have the same...
You have to have a family.
The same kind of values. Like, right. I got a southern wife and two kids, one girl, one boy.
Imagine him.
They're straight A honor students.
It's like you have a football coach that comes into town. It's a family affair.
Who was the football coach with the stripper wife?
Oh, that was he was a defensive coordinator, I think. But he was for
his wife was on
pole hunter,
pole master.
Pole assassin.
Pole assassin. Yeah,
pole even
assassin.
Better.
Yeah, pole assassin.
With the monkey. What was that? Who
the
was that guy?
The monkey bit a kid
the
in the backyard
bit
while
the,
he was
the Texas
up.
A&M yeah, football
that's
coach
that's
with the pole assassin girlfriend pole assassin. On but, Halloween. Go back to the A-list, the Halloween A-list, and you can hear all about pole assassin. If you haven't tuned in, so sorry. You're probably driving your kids to school right now. We're talking about pole assassin.
Yeah,
but
sorry about that.
That's a throwback for the real fans.
It is, though. It is what it is. No, you know what? You should have dropped your kids off by now, so you're late
for
school.
Yeah, they're late.
You're late. That's
this
on you.
This is the Fan Morning Show after hours.
Yeah. So once you drop the kids off, you've done the car
stuff
park.
Stuff gets a little weird.
Yeah. Now we talk about pole assassin. All right.
While we're on the topic of A-list, you had an NBA one we didn't get to during the mailbag block. Right?
I did. About Nav Bhatia. You know, ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Ever heard
he
of
was,
him?
He was on the Raptor show with William Lou with me on Tuesday.
He was. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's Sportsnet 590 family.
Legend. Diehard rapper. Oh, let's put a quick English drop. Quick, go, get it.
Now, yay! It's time for...
Let us A.
A.
That's three times
the
today.
A-list.
Four, because you did it twice in the same one, because we had to do the rewind.
You know what? I thought we forgot about that, Mike. Thank you.
Sorry.
Nav Bhatia is, obviously, Raptors super fan, loyal face of the franchise for the last 25 years. He's getting his own biopic.
Yeah, Cal Penn.
And Cal Penn is going to be both, I think, producing it and starring in it.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. I don't know the release date, but this was announced yesterday, which was also the palindrome day and the opposite upside down day. That was yesterday, in case you forgot. Yes, so very exciting news. I'll be interested to tune into that. That's not often that super fans get their own biopic.
I need more details on what the biopic is. Is it like just him at different Raptors games and things he's done?
You know what? I wasn't ready with it.
It's just about being the super fan.
No, I would imagine it's more about like the immigrant success story. But yeah, the Raptors fandom. Like I would almost guarantee there's an NBA championship scene in there.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
And
I
the
am
movie,
pulling
they'll
it up
sensationalize
slowly
it where so it's like he came in and he hit the jump shot against the Warriors. And
let's
like,
do some casting here. Yeah. So Cal Penn's going to play Nav.
Uh-huh.
Are we going with Simu from Shang-Chi as Bobby Webster?
That'd be amazing.
I know they're not the same.
I mean, he's from here, so you just give him the nod.
Yeah.
You just go, hey, listen, you got a lot of heat right now. Heat is good, right? We've done this before.
Yeah. Well, no, heat is bad. You're over if you've...
Okay.
Being over is good. Heat is... Eh. Heat's good if you're a bad guy.
Okay.
Did you want to know more about the movie? Because I found the like rundown. Or do you just want to wait and watch it? It's about him coming here, inspiring life, how he's an immigrant, having a tough journey through racism and bigotry, establishing himself as the most prolific car salesman and dealership owner in all of Canada, and being a friend to the Raptors, never missing a home. It's like literally his entire life, his philanthropy, education, and enabling underprivileged kids from across the country. It's going to be his entire life in this story.
Here's the big question. Who's playing me?
You get a cameo?
Yes, you.
You get to do it.
I think you should get to do it.
I don't know if you guys know this, but like a long-time career goal of mine is to be a sports, like reporter in a sports movie.
Of course we wouldn't know that. You've never told us it before.
I don't know.
I'm supposed to, like you know, well, it's not exactly like when I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut. You're like, no. What I wanted was
I just
to
want
to
be a generic guy, a generic fictional version
what
of
would
myself.
Would you want to be like an old school one or now?
I don't care.
What's happening here?
Anthony Stewart just made me into one of those, what are those things called?
Face swaps. Yeah.
And I'm at Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Why? Why
I don't
Jurassic
know,
Park,
but
Stewart?
Maybe the Raptors, like, that doesn't really look like me. Where did you get this photo from?
I don't know.
Is that me?
Yeah. It's you.
Oh, you think that's accurate? Look at that blonde I am.
But you know what the best part of this would be is if it actually wasn't you and he went to someone else's page and lifted a picture.
We had the same eyes, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's you. I hate to break it to you. You think.
That's what you look
I
like.
Know.
So I'm going to bring us full circle to the Ailish doesn't know about Hey Du Turkaloo pain thing. this reminds me of, there used to be a Jose Calderon commercial very briefly because they were giving away a Jose Calderon bobblehead. And the commercial was just him like holding it and looking at it and being like, is this supposed to look like me? It's great. It's one of the all time. It's the second best Jose Calderon commercial after the old NBA TV one that used to run, where it was just him yelling at Joey Graham, trying to get his attention for the inbound pass.
Joey. Yeah.
And just no one's there for him to pass it to. It's great.
Never forget how excited I was for the Raptors getting Joey Graham, thinking, wow, he fell in the draft.
Yeah. You know what term went completely out of my vocabulary after Joey Graham?
What a steal.
NBA ready body.
Yeah.
Well, a gross term anyway when you're talking about draft picks, but it used to be like a fairly standard thing.
Because how old are they when they're getting drafted?
That's what I think about with Scotty Barnes, NBA ready body.
Hmm. All right. But
why is it gross?
I mean, that's
it's like he's a grown man body.
The warning sign is that that can't be, or I guess I shouldn't say it's a warning sign on its own, but it can't be the first thing on the scouting report under the pros.
That's good. That's a great point. That is a really great point.
It should be in
point.
The top seven things that you say.
Because for, you know, who else has an NBA ready body is all the guys who are in the NBA.
Yeah, so, yeah. You would hope so, at least.
Drafting, except for Pokuševski with the Thunder.
Oh, my God. And Chris Boucher. Those are the only two guys where you're like, we're still waiting on Chris Boucher's NBA ready body. He's working on it.
Yeah. Speaking of getting bodies ready for sports, Nate Pearson wanted to come on at 9:30 today because he had to get that morning workout in first.
Same.
We're going to talk to...
Did you actually?
Are you kidding me?
Well, you said same. And
same. Yeah, I got up and I worked out at 3:30 this morning.
I don't know what you do.
You're nuts.
No, you're... That's the point, is that I actually think that you are the type that would have done
I would
it.
Never do that.
Ailish would only do that if someone told her, you won't do that.
It was
that.
A competition or something. No, Ailish, like, I'd be in here, like, bussing the gym, and I'd wait till you guys were walking in the building, and I'd be like, oh, hey, I just finished my pump.
Except for I'd keep trolling you, and I'd be like, oh, you're winning. Oh, damn it. No, I'll be here tomorrow. You'd keep showing up, and I'd never come into the gym. I'd never work out. I'd leave you on an island for the entire time.
Let's ask Nate Pearson about his workout.
Yeah, I actually don't want to know because it's probably going to put me to shame and make me feel worse about myself as I'm heading into a weekend.
Whatever,
where, like,
he's
my
a professional
highlights...
athlete, man. Don't...
Yeah, well, I could be someday. Are you saying I can't be? I don't have an NBA. I'm getting my body NBA ready.
I'm saying you could not be a professional athlete. No, I don't know. Maybe disc golf gets big, but
no.
If I recall right, you're off to a rough close to the season here.
I'll tell you this about disc golf. You think it's like, oh, I'm being dead honest. This is actually so embarrassing. When I first started playing it, I was like, how could I not get professional at this? Because it's so easy. Like, you throw a frisbee and like, no offense, I'm a
real
athlete.
All you need to have is the flick of the wrist.
Like, you know, like, I am actually athletic. Like, this is a sport for not that. And I followed the disc golf pro tour thing, like, on Instagram. Mm. It's insane how good people are. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, there's no.
It's like when you think you're going to be good at ping pong and then you see professionals.
Or curling, yeah.
Ping pong!
Yeah.
I love it.
It's actually,
that's a new thing.
It's actually table tennis to those of us in the know, but yeah, sure, for the rubes, it's ping pong. All right, Blake's mad. Let's take a break. He's like, you guys have had enough of this. Like, it's time to do a serious thing.
I have requested a specific drop from Vic for moving forward that I would use right here. It's not ready yet.
Yeah.
But
it's not ready. It's taking like time to produce.
Well, I just asked for it during this segment.
Oh.
I just shot him a note. It's like, hey, you know what would be a useful drop?
Yeah.
This thing for next week.
Yeah. It should just be Belichick where he's like, we're moving on to San Francisco. Whatever. It's like, that's him.
That's me. I'm San Francisco.
Yeah, Cincinnati. That's it. I always forget where it is. Let's take a break. Let's come back and let's talk to
Big Nate.
Big Nate. Or as Alec Manoah calls him, Little Nate. It's Nate Pearson. Next. On the Fan Morning Show, J.D. Bungus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar. Suppose I have I'm not of the fan.
My family!
It's time for another Maple Leafs ticket giveaway. We are giving you a chance to win tickets to the Maple Leafs Blackhawks game on December 11th. Today's code word is icing. Text icing to 590-590 for your shot to win.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. She's Ailish Forfar. And that is the last of J.D. Bunkus's aux cord.
I like the way that Vic doled it out. Is Nate Pearson there?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. No. I just wondered if we had a minute. I was going to
He's still pushing weights around the room. Doing a little sledding.
Clanging and banging.
Sled push. Those will get you throwing up real quick.
Clanging and banging.
Gross. That made me feel like I want to throw up. All I have is coffee in my stomach, and it's way too
much. Yeah, imagine you had to go do a sled push right now. I would collapse.
I don't want to imagine that. I just want to imagine me eating.
Are you guys big chin-up guys?
No. I used to be, and now I don't think I could do one.
Okay. Would you rather have to do chin-ups or sled pushes?
Sled push for sure.
Sled push.
Wow.
No question. Yeah.
I will pick the thing that is more leg-oriented every single time.
Squat or leg press?
Squat.
What about leg hamstring press. Curls? Those ones will get you. Yeah. Get you the next day. You'll be falling right on the toilet.
Those will get you. Oh, you know what, though? Speaking of this, there is nothing more satisfying than that leg workout when you actually do sit down on the toilet and you have to get up and you're like, oh.
You're like, I feel it, right?
Yeah, and you feel it from that. It sucks getting out of bed because then you're like, oh, my God, like, I'm not going to make it today.
No, you truly are, like, limping around.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no, like, this is bad. This is real bad. How am I going to do my things today?
Or, like, calf raises when your calves are sore. It's, like, such a dumb muscle.
I love calf
raises. Why are my calves sore?
Yeah, old Blake's over there.
Or you guys get shin splints ever?
Yeah, I got shins. So I get them, like, weird times. I got them once in a high school basketball game. Seriously, in a meaningful one. And it was one of the worst things ever. Like, I could barely move. And I was out on the sideline, like, stretching it out, trying to explain what's happening. And they're like, what the hell is going on? I was like, I have no idea.
There's pain in the shin.
No, but it was so bad that, like, I just, like, walking the ball up the court, I was like, I can't do this. I can't move. My whole body is done. No, shin
splints
are
awful. That's how you never made it to the NBA, because there's a scout there.
That was why. That was my one shot. That was in Whitehorse, Yukon. And the NBA scout was there. They're like, we're going to take you right out of high school. It's not even allowed anymore. But we're thinking about it.
Could have been.
Could have been a contender.
I could have been somebody. I could have done things for my family.
My family.
So the reason Nate Pearson's getting that work in is he needs to stay ready to throw 100 miles an hour.
Hell yeah.
Not a big deal.
He also underwent surgery at the end of the season to repair a sports hernia.
Ooh.
He's expected to be fine for spring training. Ross Atkins had said he should not be disrupted at all. We're excited about how he finished the year and excited about him building up again. So before Nate joins us here, as we wait for him. So last year, he only threw 15 innings at the major league level, 45 and two thirds innings overall. You got to go back to 2019 for the last time he scraped past 100 innings. So this is a pivotal offseason for him in terms of, hey, what does the workload look like next year? You know, what is your role going to be next year? We're going to talk to the man himself.
Let's ask him about it. So it's Nate Pearson, Blue Jays pitcher, who is coming off of a sports hernia, which sounds good. I had inguinal hernia. That sounds like I'm a nerd. You sound cool. You're like, hey, I'm a pitcher. I have a sports hernia. Was it actually a sports hernia, or was that like PR where you're like, you were like me, you had inguinal, but it sounded kind of weenie-ish. So you were like, hey, can you say it's a sports one? No one will ask. No one will dig into this.
Yeah, no, it was it's called like athletic pubalgia, or like they call it a sports hernia, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
that's why I was getting the repeated like groin strains. But I got it repaired, and now I'm back throwing early parts of the off season, so it's everything's going pretty well.
Yeah, man, you were working out today, so that's why you know you're on during this block. And I'd imagine like you're just your health in general. Like, how are you feeling right now? You doing well?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, it's good to get back throwing. Took some time off, you know, a little bit of 4 weeks after surgery, you know, just took some time and just relax and just let the body heal. And then now I'm back to throwing and working out. So it's going well. It's a good off season so far.
So how much structure is there for you in between now and spring training in terms of, hey, not only are you rehabbing from this injury, but I'd assume they're trying to have you build up your stamina for a potential starting role next year too. So you're kind of trying to serve two ends there. Is it pretty structured from here, like week by week, and where you're going to ramp up to?
Yeah, no. So I know coming into camp, I'm going to be building up as a starter. So right now, everything is working towards that, like mentality wise, you know, body wise. That's what I'm preparing myself for. Preparing myself to, you know, win a spot in the rotation and break with the team in whatever role they want me in. So that's just kind of what I'm working for.
We had Pete Walker on about a week ago, and he's really high on what you're going to accomplish this year. What does he have you focusing on in the offseason?
You know, right now it's just getting the body right. And once I get back on the mound, it's, you know, it's just attacking the zone, throwing as many strikes as I can with all my pitches, and just really just coming into camp with everything really tuned up and ready to just get after it and having nothing hold me back this year. That's the main thing.
So speaking of that, like last year was a tough one, right? Because you had so much expectations riding on you heading into the season. Like I remember when we were looking at the starting rotation, it's kind of funny actually looking back on it, but everyone looked at it as a real problem for the Blue Jays, right? We went, it's Ryu and then it's question marks, but it's Nate Pearson. Like he's got to come up and this has got to be the year. And it just felt like one thing after another for you, whether it was like injuries, there was like, I think a mechanical change that they asked of you. Like how was it last year just kind of dealing with those setbacks and having the frustration of, hey, I want to be there. I know that they're leaning on me. This is supposed to be a breakout year. Like just in terms of the mental component of all of this, what were you going through?
You know, that was probably the hardest part, you know, the mentality of everything, because, you know, having the repeated setbacks, that's what kind of takes a toll on your mentality. Like, you know, like every time I step on the mound, it's like, man, I hope my groin's all right. Or, you know, you're just thinking about many different things health wise that you forget to even compete or worry about who you're facing or like, you know, working on actual baseball stuff. And so that kind of takes a toll on your mentality. And then once I heard it again and finally, you know, went down to Florida, rehabbed it, you know, got a cortisone injection and came back out of the bullpen. That's when I was able to trust it and get back to who I really was and, you know, just being out there and just attacking hitters. So that was probably the hard part, just getting over that mentality part of it.
In terms of, you know, you come back and you come out of the bullpen. So you had the 6 games at AAA and then 11 out of the pen in the majors. When you talk about just kind of focusing in and attacking hitters, did you learn anything that you can take forward into how you approach starting games from your success out of the bullpen?
Yeah, no, I just, the success I had out of the bullpen late in the season, that's what I'm just going to carry over into this year. You know, exactly how I attack guys out of the bullpen, that's how I plan on doing it as a starter. And, you know, just being able to go deep into games. You know, I haven't been deep in a game in like a couple of years now. So that's another goal of mine, to just to get into the seventh inning, you know, sixth inning, you know, consistently, and just being that consistent guy that the team can rely on. And so that's a goal of mine, and that's what I'm working for, and, you know, mentally just preparing myself for that.
So that is something, right? Like wanting to go deep in ball games, and you just said it, like you want to break camp as a starter, and all that makes sense. You're a starting pitcher, and you know what? Organizationally, that's all we've heard from insiders, from people that have come on here. It's like, nope, they're still developing Nate Pearson as a starter. Like the bullpen stuff is great. It's been awesome that he's been able to do the things that he's done there. But ultimately, like, this guy is a projected starter. What I'm curious about, though, is, like, and you kind of touched on it because you said you do whatever the team asks, but how do you feel about, like, those hybrid roles, right? Because you're looking at maybe potentially something where you're pitching behind an opener, you do, like, the 3-innings pitch stints. Like, if that's breaking camp, how do you feel about a role like that? Is that something that's been discussed with you? Like, that is a way that baseball has been shifting. Obviously, we know how this team looks at the Rays, how much the Rays have done things like that with their pitchers. Where's that in terms of, like, comfort level for you?
You know, I'm especially after having this past, like, rough year dealing with injuries and being in AAA and struggling, I want to be in whatever role that's in the big leagues. You know, I want to be on the team. I want to help in any way I can, whether it's out of the bullpen, hybrid role, opener. You know, I want to be a starter, you know, go deep into games, whatever it is. I want to be up there. I want to contribute. I want to help as much as I can. And so that's kind of where I'm at now. And, you know, I'm excited for this year, whatever role I'm in, whether it's in the rotation or in the hybrid role, you know, I'll be ready and I'll be excited for it.
We were talking to Ross Stripling earlier in the week, and he kind of echoed that sentiment. And you know, I asked him, hey, is it a little weird at all that, like, you're a vet and Nate might lean on you a little bit if he is in that hybrid role or his role is changing, but you guys are also sort of in competition together? And he said, well, he likes winning better than he likes starting necessarily. What have you been able to pick up from Ross as you made that transition last year, or even just in preparing for the year ahead?
You know, it was cool to watch Ross, because I got up there, he was making starts, and then he transitioned to the bullpen, and it was like a long relief guy. And just seeing his mentality going from role to role, it didn't even faze him. He was ready to go whenever he was called, and he wasn't complaining about many different roles. He was just always the same guy, and I think that's a tribute to his work ethic and his mentality. And I think it was very cool to see, and just something I picked up on and learned from.
So your buddy Alek Manoah, you know, he doesn't agree with your Twitter handle. He calls you Little Nate, right? Like, that's so, I, Do you ever, like, have you checked out on him this offseason? Like, I know his workouts, I think, are probably a little bit different than yours. Like, I'm pretty sure that his workouts are, like, described as, like, he goes into a shipping container and just sweats. Like, I don't even know, but it doesn't sound pleasant at all. But, yeah, do you keep up with him during the offseason? Like, do you see him at all? I know that you guys are both, like, Florida dudes.
Yeah, no, I text him quite often, you know, just catching up, seeing what he's up to, how the holidays are going. Yeah, he's a beast, man. It was cool to watch him come up and just have success right away. That's very rare for, especially a young guy to do.
Were you surprised by it at all?
But, I mean, I got to see his first three starts in AAA, yeah. And after those three, I was like, this guy's ready. Like, he's going to go up there and take the league by storm. And like, his mentality is something a lot of people don't have, and it's pretty impressive how he handles it and everything about it. I learned a lot from him too.
Nate, before we let you go here, one of the silliest things I've done during the pandemic is I just keep buying new shoes because there's nothing else to do and I don't have anywhere to wear them. Yeah, I know you're a big kicks guy. Do you have any pandemic purchases like that where you're like, I don't need these shoes or these are just so good I have to jump on them?
Yeah, so I mean, I love Jordans, especially Jordan 1s, and so whenever there's a new pair out, especially like me and Mano, we talk about the different shoes that come out, and you know, it's just a hobby. You know, we both like shoes, and it's fun to put on a nice new pair.
Yeah, it's hopefully here we'll have somewhere to go in them sometime soon. Nate Pearson, thanks so much for taking the time this morning, and good luck with everything this offseason.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Not going into the shipping container.
No.
With Alek Manoah.
No, and
that's but close. Good to hear that he's already back to throwing. Like, that sports hernia surgery was not all that long ago. Ugh. And his point about that's potentially why he kept having the groin issues. Hey, I mean, if that's behind him.
I actually love this spot for him. Not that he's had to deal with injuries or that it's been a tougher ride for him, but I love the spot in terms of the expectation. Like, think about the shift from last year to this one. Last season, he was literally already down in Penn as the number two starter for the Blue Jays. Legit. Mm. Everyone looked at it, and he had the stumble. Like, he was not quite healthy, not quite ready to go to start the year, but people went, he's the other most important guy. They got to have Ryu, the soft-tossing guy, and then they're going to have the fireballer right after him in Pearson. Now he gets to enter the season battling for a spot. It's not given to him. It's not expected of him. And for somebody who, like he just mentioned, has had a tough go with dealing with the mental side of things in terms of the grind of this and having, you don't think that he knows how big of a prospect he is? This guy throws 100. Mm-hmm. This guy has thrown 100 since forever. That was the first pieces of him is like, this guy is a savior. This guy is a front end dominant ace type projection. So for him to come in here and finally get to play the, like, hey, man, you're not the savior. Hey, you're not the one who's expected to make the Toronto Blue Jays thrive. Just come in here and surprise people. It just sets up really well narratively for him to come in and be like, hey, do you know who's really blowing people away at camp? Is Nate Pearson. Hey, are they really going to throw, I don't know, Kikuchi ahead of Nate Pearson when he showed up and he's looking this way? Okay, so they're going to give maybe Manoah an extra day's rest, and he comes in and he's in that hybrid role. He just said it. He'd rather be in the majors than not. So if he's in the majors, he's contributing to wins, he's going to do it. He looks at things differently than he once was. He's had to deal with things differently than he once had to. So I just think, hopefully anyways, maybe I'm just being overly optimistic, but that this could all end up being best for him in the long run, you know?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? Is he's still only 25 years old. He comes in with a lot of pedigree, and he's still throwing 100. It's not like the velocity's dropped off. It's not like we don't see what the potential is when he does take the mound. And yeah, the results haven't been there and the health hasn't been there, but it's very easy to sell yourself on Nate Pearson being a guy if even a few small things break right. So yeah, whether it's obviously a team has to consider more than just the short-term value, but like, yeah, I see him as that kind of multi-inning hybrid role. Like, and I know Stripling's there too, but Stripling mentioned to us yesterday, like, hey, what if him and Pearson are piggybacking? Like, I know that's more of a minor league thing, but like, if you have both of those, like your quote unquote bullpen day on the odd time you need a fifth, the odd time you need a sixth guy or whatever, is those two guys both giving you once through the order, like, you're in pretty good shape. You don't want to go full World Series where you have no starters whatsoever, but that's a valuable weapon to have, and that's a valuable weapon to be able to deploy days you need a starter and don't want to have to keep AAA depth and juggle the 40-man. And when you run into a high leverage situation before you expect it, where, you know, hey, maybe a pitcher gives you a good outing and it's a close game, but the pitch total gets up and he only gives you four, so you need to turn to a guy who can give you multiple innings. I think that versatility of approach and versatility of mentality could be really important for this team. So obviously great that he's getting healthy, and obviously for him and for maximizing value, yeah, it'd be great if he runs with the fifth starter role. But there are a lot of different paths to Nate Pearson contributing, I think.
I kind of want to do another A-list, since that would mean we did an A-list in every hour back end.
You got anything left?
Just give me five
Come
seconds.
On.
5 seconds. Yeah. No, I don't have
it's
one.
Time for
A-list.
I was like, we had to do it. Ooh. We had to do it.
One second.
What are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend?
Yeah. Nothing.
Let me look at my calendar.
You're with your cat?
I'm supposed to go to a little a dinner with my friends. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday to Abby.
Oh, it's my sister's birthday today, actually. Happy birthday to my sister.
Yay. It's her birthday, so we were going to go to dinner at one of my favorite restaurants in the city. I don't know if I should say it in case people can stalk me.
Don't.
One of my favorite restaurants in the city. It's a barbecue location. Okay, there's hundreds of barbecue locations, Blake. You're going to tell people
you want so bad. I didn't say anything, first of all.
Yeah. I saw your face.
I know. I was just going to say, though, it's like, this leads to you. This actually is a perfect way to tie in the two A-lists, because you started the show today with, I'm worried about whether people know who I am at the basketball game. And here's what I want to tell the two of you.
Yes.
Nobody knows who any of us are. When we're out in public, like, it's like the most insane thing to be like,
I'm never out in public. I'm either here or I'm in my bed sleeping.
No, but even when we are out in public, so I honestly go to a billion Jays games, and I used to always think like, oh man, like, is someone going to recognize me here? I sit like here. No, I've been, you know how many times I recognize a Jays game? Like twice. And one of them, because I was with Ennis and his massive
bobblehead.
You kind
of just look like every generic guy, though.
Wow. We're going to end on that note going into the weekend. I look like every generic guy. I'd rather you say I'm ugly. Like, hurtful. Hurtful.
Blake has also said he kind of looks like every generic guy with a beard and tattoos.
It's one thing for him to say it. He's saying it about himself, and he knows he's handsome, so that's a lie. He knows this. He's like, I'm not pretty. And then we're like, you're pretty. And then that's how that works. It's called fishing. This is different.
I'm sorry.
That was hurtful. Honestly, I didn't want it to be this way.
That was today's A-list.
Can you believe she said that to me?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I can believe it.
Yeah. No, nobody recognizes you guys. No one's going to show up at your restaurant.
I'm not worried about getting recognized. I'm worried about A-list consistently giving out their location.
Consistently.
Do you know? Okay. Just think this
through, though. Text in 590-590. A-list will drop a pin.
No, but the idea of someone like, okay, I'm like, this is where I like to go. And then that person's like, I'm going to hang out there all the time.
Well, that's scary.
Nah,
that's
come on.
The
it's,
truth.
Not, it's not happening. It's like your favorite barbecue spot and yours is there. It's safe.
Look, I'll just say I have a story I could tell you off the air later.
Sure. Ooh. Ooh. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple minutes left. So what we have ahead for this weekend?
I was going to say, Ailish only told us that she's going to her thing. Did you ever find anything for the A-list?
Getting some
I'm
barbecue.
Looking. Just give me a second. It's not that easy, okay?
You're going to find fake barbecue places.
No, like, I'm going to find one last quick A-list once Blake gives us some stuff.
What do you got?
Let me focus.
What do you got, Blakey?
Well, I was just going to say both Toronto teams are off tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We got Leafs at Wild on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Leafs at Jets Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors versus Wizards on Sunday.
Ugh.
NFL Week 13, of course.
Both teams play Sunday?
Yeah.
Stop doing that!
And both teams are off tonight. Why can't you just...
Oh my God.
Won't someone think of the morning sports radio hosts?
Who are the geniuses that think that you should be running sports against football? Like, have you guys like never seen the ratings? How it's like football, even in Canada, destroys hockey, destroys basketball? Stop. Stop doing this. No one wants to watch it. It's the football day. For God's sakes. Sunday.
Scotiabank Arena. Just
hockey.
Just sitting empty today and tomorrow.
Ah. Sunday basketball is honestly like, that's got to be an NBA TV game where you go and you get cheap tickets and they bring the Timberwolves into town and you go, okay, except for not anymore.
It's Anthony at least Edwards. 6 p.m.
So ugh, worse.
Right, but it bridges the 4 p.m. games to the
what time is
to
hockey,
the night
8?
Game. I would assume so. It's on the West Coast.
I'm going to fight
or
somebody.
Not. I would say West Coast for anything that's not in the Eastern time zone, and I'm sure that bothers.
I think this is West 3 weeks people. In a row.
It's at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock on Sunday. Yeah.
Woof.
You disgust me, NHL schedule makers. You, I abhor you.
You sickos.
You're disgusting.
This is
football.
the third Sunday in a row for.
Just let us watch football on Sundays and nothing else. Please. God.
And maybe Succession if there's time. If the Sunday nighter isn't.
Yeah, I want to watch Chiefs Broncos. Broncos yeah. aren't the Broncos 6-5? Broncos are 6-5. Broncos win this game. That division is the most hilarious division in all sports. And so mm-hmm. that is literally the Wild Wild West. They're one game back. They're tied with KC. They win that game. They're not going to win that game, I don't think. Yeah. But Teddy Bridgewater, you never know. Big game day.
I mean, 9.5 is a big spread, though, for a team that's playing okay and needs that win a lot.
I know.
But 47.5 over under feels a little light, too.
I kind of like the Broncos and that one on the spread. 9.5 feels like a little too much. A little too much.
All right, 90 seconds here. You got one?
There you go.
Tune in tomorrow.
What?
Oh, yeah.
To the Sportsnet YouTube page.
Oh,
if you'd
boy.
Like to see my face and Steve Dangle's face live mm-hmm. on the Watch a Leafs Game with Steve Dangle YouTube series, I will be there sitting so on my computer. Maybe my cat will make an appearance. Stay tuned. But maybe. I will be live there with Steve Dangle watching the Leafs game for a little segment. So that's on the A-list because that's pretty cool.
You know what I can't wait
for?
That's
the big call-up.
Is for you to go like, Bandit, come say hi to everybody.
I'm gonna say, Bandit,
come here. She's not normally like this. She normally loves coming on. She's not.
My
she's
family.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
My family. Yeah.
Just going to say this. We made the whole week without talking about this. Brody, kinda, a little offended that there's
Blake
Bandit chatter
cat.
on the show and not no Brody chatter, and he hasn't
Post
had a visit from
Brody
old
first,
Uncle JD.
And then we can
hasn't had a visit from old Uncle JD. Yet.
I'm officially the only person with no cat on the show. Yeah,
wait till you get to that level of depressed.
And our boss is a cat person too. I know. It's like you guys have a group chat where you're like, "Hey,
cats,
don't
meow,
you
meow,
guys
meow.
Like
what
Purina,
kind of wet food
or do you like
use?
Whiskers or whatever?
Do you have any good cat litter options?
Oh my god, I got this new cat litter and it is spectacular.
Try this catnip toy.
Yeah, no, no cats for me, but more cat talk from Blake.
Like, probably not.
Here's the thing, though, is like the thing about cats is like, what's your cat stories? It's like nothing
well,
happens.
You just got a kitten, so like I'm hoping there's
I know,
some stories.
But it's like, oh, your cat slept and then it woke up and scratched you and then it slept some more and wow, what a tale.
Yeah. And it's coat kind of looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars logo.
Oh.
Love it.
That's about
they are,
it.
They are cute, though.
Leafs,
happy
Saturday
Friday.
And Sunday. Raptors, Sunday. NFL. Good luck with all your bets. Good luck with everything this weekend.
Love
Have a great
you.
Time. This has been the Fan Morning Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Sportsnet 590.
Yum, yum, yum.
My family.